His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Expect to be delighted as God acts graciously. Secondly, expect reversal. Be shocked at the way God acts as he turns the way we think we should act and the way we think we should work upside down. Thirdly, expect that all the promises of God will be fulfilled. Promises of blessing, not just for a group of people who passed on 2,000 years ago, but blessing to extend to all people, even to us here now. And so, in the first part of the song, we find Mary's personal life at this news described as active gracious. Described as giving her this undeserved gift. She will give birth to the Lord Jesus. And in verse 46, she declares that her soul glorifies the Lord. In verse 47, that her spirit rejoices in God her Savior. Why is she alone? Why is she happy with God? Verse 48 tells us the reason why. For he has been one of the humble state of his servant. Now, while it might be nice to see Mary delighting in God, at the same time, it might have you just wondering, what does Mary mean when she labels herself humble? Because I don't know about you, but at first glance, you could see nothing more arrogant than the son of the clan that I am the Lord. You know, can you imagine that if I said, hi, I'm Luke, and I'm humble. Along with you being very confused, you probably think, isn't this the opposite to being humble? But what Mary means by this humble state is that she is humble in the sense of her status in society. Mary's own people, I would have thought little of her. So she's just a young lady. She's new, insignificant, but no one expects anything based on her. But she's come from this unimpressive town called Nazareth. Nazareth in the days, it's less than Lismore. It's not even like the suburbs, east or the Alabama. It's unheard of. It's bungalow, not Bangalore. But while Mary's own people would have thought nothing of her, and while people would have thought that she's from another man, God has thought that she's the one of the child. While undeserving of this great role that God has placed in Mary, just a poor servant. Not much more than a teenager from the world of us has been given the great responsibility to deserve God's son. See, Christmas, God acts in a way that is foreign to this world, foreign to our thinking. Yet it's not foreign to the way God acts. He acts graciously. He's the guy who picking his team to play with them, chooses not the one who's shown the cards, the one who's off to the side, eating a sand by themselves. There's never even thought of kicking the ball. Never even thought of going to run. One week, I don't deserve it. We shaved our heads. But they haven't proved themselves to show the Lord what it takes. And yet, Mary too is undeserving of this role. She yet is chosen graciously by God. And because God has been mindful of her, because he's been gracious of her, this very news that she's expected brings her soul to pour out and glorify him in response. Brings her spirit to rejoice in God the Savior. But if you think, that's big news and that's good for Mary. Know that when Jesus comes into this world, it means that God's grace, his mercy extends beyond the borders of man. But we too can share. So that you might too share in this unexpected gift of the Lord's grace. Because in this song, we find out that we can expect not only grace, discover that when Mary is expecting a king, she expects things to be reversed. Things are going to be flipped to the way things are now. Back to front to the way we are. And two groups are affected. The proud, strong, they brought blood. The weak, the small, the humble are lifted up. Because in verse 51, Mary sings out, God, he scattered those who are proud. 52, he's brought down those from their throne, but lifted up the humble. Verse 53, he's filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away. Now, if you like me, hopefully you're not like me, you probably have a couple of questions from these verses. What is God doing all this? Are these things that are in the past that God has done? Or is it what he's presently doing, what he's doing now? Or is it something that we can, you know, that's going to happen in the future? And it makes a difference, doesn't it? If it's in the past, there is the difference. And if it's in the future, just what does all that mean? There are cases in the past where it's quite clear in God's word that he has in fact brought down rules. You read about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and him, God brings him life. And Pharaoh of Egypt, Genesis, another God, God brings life. But Mary here, God realizes, speaking of the bigger picture, not just a ruler, a proud person or a rich man who goes away. But a bigger picture that brings a full completion of this growing and rising. Mary is pointing us forward to what will happen. It's a future judgment that brings reversal when Jesus will actually return and judge the living and the dead. On that day, when all will need to give account before me, when all things will be reversed, restored to how they should be. Mary considered these things in certain terms because it has been brought about. How? How have these things been brought about? Because she's pregnant. She's expecting the Lord Jesus who will bring it all into being. The fact that she is a child, that means that God's future work is certain to come. But is there something troubling here? Something much deeper than this. Does this trouble you that those who have plenty will be sent away empty? Does it go against our thinking of you deserve what you earn? See, when we hear that, don't think that those who earn wages will spend like those who are rich. See, if they've worked tirelessly for them, if they've put their sweat and blood on, don't they deserve what they've earned? You know, on the other side, I wonder if you're tempted to think that, say, those who have nothing, possibly even on welfare benefits, don't deserve any more than we're going to give. Isn't this possibly how we think the world should work? That you deserve what you earn. So how can the rich go away from you? The trouble is that those who are referred to as having, saying they don't need what they actually need the most. They say they don't need God. They're rulers who say they can rule life for own. They're rich who say they're money. They're proud, thinking they're above us, and therefore in control. The proud dismiss God as they want to be God or even greater. The proud don't recognize what they have. All they have is come from God. The humble the opposite. They recognize their own state of helplessness, a state of weakness, a state that recognises our own deep downfall, our own deep sin and betrayal towards the living God. That they have tried to rule lives themselves, protect themselves with their riches, they recognise that actually they need God. And so it's their turn. Given up, humble themselves, and come under his rule, Father. Recognize that all that they have in him, coming is undeserved, has come from God. So what Mary is doing here, she's saying that because she's expecting the Lord Jesus, we can be sure that they will come, and there will be a reversal. And they will have to do. It says, judge not the proud, but they have all one. And those who are humble, those who humble themselves by recognizing who God is, will one day be lifted high. No, we can't see it now. We one day will, because she is expecting the child which will do it all. But if Jesus is the one that brings all these things into reversal, Christmas, the birth of Jesus, it quickly goes from being irrelevant. We'll ask this question of where we are at, proud or humble. But when it comes to the answer, I think we can all say that we are a little proud. That is in the sense that we want to be in control of our lives. We want to be in the driver's seat of our lives and not let God take the wheel. See, for myself, after studying at Bible college, myself, I want to end up in a place where I want to be. And not recognize where God put me. Perhaps on a day like this, I'm also in a bitch like me on this. See, I want to be in control where I set the agenda. Where people listen to me, you are all. But I'm not in control. It's a pretty humbling fact that when death comes at any time, I can't really rule life the way I want. When global financial crisis hits, money can't really protect me. So while I might have in mind the things that I think will make my life work for me, in the long run, when God comes to do it for me, they're all going to fail. Unless I am humble by being mindful of Him, that actually He's the one who calls the shots. What I need to remember before anything else is that before I was mindful of Him, He was mindful of me. And how was God mindful of you and I? Mary tells us that God was mindful of us by remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants, which is here in Mary's song. Have a look from verse 64. She declares that God has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. What does all this mean? It's a long, long time ago, way before Mary, thousands of years ago, God had made a promise to one of Mary's descendants called Abraham. And this promise is also spoken to a reversal which received blessing of life over the curse of death. God promised Abraham that all nations, all people on earth will be blessed through him. What do we find? Mary, the long descendant of Abraham, is your child. This child, Jesus Christ, will bring the fulfillment of this promise of blessed life. How? By Jesus, the Son of God, growing up to be a man nailed to a cross. And we could have made it for the world to see in reverse of the role, where he would go instead of us. He would reverse it and say that through his humble and death would bring much needed life by making payment for our guilty, for our hearts. While we were helpless to reverse the punishment of sin and death, he would go and do the unexpected. See, this is how Mary does it. The wise God remembers his promises and brings about that from an even to a costly to his son. So that we might have life, eternal life, with God our Father. This song is a joy song, because when Mary is expecting Jesus, we can expect the promise of blessing of life, even though we are blind to him. See, this song, good news, it gets awesome, you know. I'm tempted to go out of my own mouth. I'll say this. Now, all jokes aside, it's just not Mary who should be left alone to sing a song. Because there's room for us to sing with the lives as well. Words about God has been gracious and wonderful of us. Even when we're not wonderful and human of us. We can sing with expectation that we will not. When Jesus comes along in one great way, God pours out for us, gives to the loving, and holds all his promises to the Lord. And now that the beginning may have put this song is for us. But it's for Mary. Now she's the one expecting the baby. But this baby is Jesus. We've gone up to say to Mary, my thoughts. And so, just what can we expect from this birth of Jesus? Notice, Mary's song tells us that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's big old promises to one that very much needed blessing, salvation over sin and death. You're wondering whether God is doing Samuel 80? Notice, Mary's song tells us that this is the way God works. He will use what seems foolish to the world in order to see the proud grow up and the humble. And if we think birth is irrelevant, Mary's song tells us that this birth of Jesus is irrelevant. It should make us question whether we will turn from what people think that we are somehow special. Turn from that to humble ourselves and receive Jesus. Turn to him and receive his grace and blessing that comes free an undeserved gift of his riches. What a pray. Father God, we give thanks that through your Son Jesus you have been so gracious to us. Father, at times we can be proud, we can want to